Blog Talk Radio. A dance break to start the show off. Hi, I'm Jennifer Perry, also known as Madam Perry. I'll be your cruise director for this evening's show of Madam Perry Salon. Now, some of you know that Madam Perry Salon began about 5 years ago as a blog. And because I wanted to be like the old cultural and arts salons of Europe, Asia, and the UK in centuries past, I always like to have at least two people or a co-interviewer to make a conversation, not just a question and answer. So now, Madam Perry Salon is on the air, which is where we all are now, and I am delighted to have the fascinating guests that I am fortunate to have. If you would like to, if you're listening to this live right now on June 9th at 7 p.m., Eastern Daylight something time, please click follow. If you're looking at the screen, click the follow on the screen so we can count it. And also that number there that you can call in if you have a question. If you're already a fan of these guests, or if you have a question for them or something, or just want to tell them how fantastic they are, just go ahead and give us a call. We will appreciate that very much. So let's see who we have tonight. He has a new novel, which is a supernatural thriller collection masked as a novel, is what they tell me, with elements of mystery, suspense, and otherworldly horror. Successfully delving into the worlds of Lovecraft, Grant, and the mysterious Carcosa. And he's also a submissions reader for Cemetery Dance magazine. Now, that's a magazine title. Cemetery Dance magazine. And he has a podcast called Horror 101. He's featured monthly on Tales to Terrify. His short fiction has appeared in several anthologies. And his bio said he was currently finishing, he may be through, with his creative writing master's degree at Binghamton University. And he teaches high school English and lives in Castle Creek, New York, with his wife and children. Please welcome Kevin Lucia.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that new book is called Through a Mirror Darkly, and it's just had a launch last weekend, hasn't it?
Yes, it did. Yep, had a very successful launch. On Friday, it ended up getting to number two in the top 100 on Amazon's Ghost category. So it was a very successful launch.
All right, that's fantastic. Now, this is your publisher of this book is... Crystal Lake Publishing, and so they've been pretty energetic about promoting this last week in the launch. So I was very happy to see that. Good.
Yeah, and Joe Meinhardt's excellent. Yeah.
Joe Meinhardt is a dog. I like Joe Meinhardt. Never met him personally, but knowing him through Facebook, it's amazing. The people that you can meet on social media. And I had a conversation with our next guest about this, but let me go ahead and introduce him. He's a German DJ and producer. Also, he focuses on or specializes in electronica music. Bits more of the experimental jazz, electronica, dub, bass. I don't even know beats, how to explain him. He's the owner of the label Mobus Spin. He goes by the name 3D Taurus, and the way I put it was he explores, creates, communicates new worlds via electronic music. He told me that when he was 15, he was DJing the drum and bass and organizing parties and DJing in deserted military facilities. And I thought, well, what better way to cleanse with a good karma to take a deserted military facility and have these all-night dance parties they would have. So please welcome all the way from Germany, Mr. Well, we're going to call it Martin or 3D Taurus.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hope you're well.
Hello, Martin.
Hi, yes, we are. We hope you are, too.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm very happy to be on the show tonight.
Oh,
and
good.
To you, Kevin, I'd just like to say, in short, congratulations on the publishing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Of Through a Mirror Darkly.
Thank you.
And, yeah,
so
I think...
So good to hear it started that well.
We've already started reading it, both Martin and myself, Kevin. So we're.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you know, this is not just some jackleg radio show, okay? Okay, it is, but still. You know, we try to make it a little cut above. Yeah, and actually, too, we'll get to Martin also has a new project coming out, too, a new, very exciting musical project with a different name, which... talk about, but he and I were talking on Sunday, because I met I met you, Kevin, through, of course, Joe Meinhardt, and met him through, I don't know, through social media, through Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I met Martin, or 3D Taurus, I met him on Twitter, and actually because I was ghost tweeting for a client who was a musician. And trying to seek out good connections or people that I felt
yes.
that she should know. yeah. So I kind of felt a little deceptive.
Yeah,
and I do this for a lot of people. And I have to get into their voice and their head and talk to the people in different ways. And so when I was going to introduce her, and he was so nice that when I said, you really got to talk to this guy. He's really nice. And she goes, well, wait a minute. What have I said to him already? He already thinks I'm talking to him. So, but I mean, talk about an alias, talk about a double life, like a double not spy. So, so I met him through the wonders of Twitter, and I was telling Kevin, I was telling Martin Sunday, we were having a little chat, and I said, you know, I'm of the generation or the era that believed that by this time, by this date in our lives, 2015, that we would all be having the George Jetson lifestyle with in the cars, the flying cars, and going to different places. And I had even, I think I sent you the song, the Todd Rundgren song, Future.
Yeah.
About that, where
that's
he says, I will, have you heard that, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
You haven't heard it? Okay, I'm a big Todd fan. And so... the song is like, I was supposed to have a house on Mars, I was supposed to have a flying car, you know, the future, because that's what we all thought. But we don't have that, but we do have the ability to meet people all around the world. And like, I've met both of you guys just through social media, and I think that to me, that's just a gift and a wonder in itself, that, you know, we might have never met. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact,
I have many artists on Mobius Spin is that way, because I meet them on social media and we connect and then we agree on some release or something. It's mostly from all over the world. It's only a few from Germany.
Oh, really? Well, now, on Mobius Spin, and that's your label, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. That is your label, but you've produced many artists on your label, and I did not realize that most of them were not from Germany, that you met them on social media. So.
Oh, most of them, yes.
Yeah. And do you find that difficult, or is it easier now because of all the advances in technology and recording that you could... you could produce their work, and I would guess probably most of them you'd never see them face to face.
No, I haven't. But actually, it's more like they are all producing for themselves, and in some cases, I might help with some mastering or something in the end. And I find it quite easy because.
Okay. Martin, are you with me?
Oh, did we lose him?
I don't know. I hope not. We occasionally have these little weird things on Blog Talk Radio. Somebody will drop out. Sometimes I drop out completely.
Hey, man.
And the guests keep on going. Are you there, Martin?
Yeah, I'm here.
We've got you now. Good. Okay, we lost you for a moment. Do you find, and this, now
yeah.
This question is for both of you.
I think
you.
That happens with, but I'm back on.
Okay, good. Have you both found that you also have not only make but new connections, but you've both got a lot of fan base through social media? Kevin?
Yeah, I absolutely. In fact, you get more from the social media and the internet initially than you do even in your hometown. They always say it's a proverb out of the Bible or something like that, that a prophet has no renown in his hometown, you know, kind of that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, because, you know, you're a hometown boy, you know, they just know you as who you are. So people on the internet, you know, I that's where I've gotten the majority of my fans and things like that. And I think that, you know, in many ways, social media is the best marketing tool that you have right now, you know, as far as sharing your things, sharing sales, sharing releases. So, yeah, definitely.
You know, I use that Bible quote a lot myself, and especially when I'm talking to clients as a publicist. When I want them to go somewhere or reach out somewhere or get on a show, they go, but I don't know anybody there. And I do the same thing. You know, a prophet's not heard in his own land. You can be here, but you're always here. You're too familiar. But if I take you even one or two states away, you know, there you're something different, you're exotic, you're new, you're fresh. And then once other people get onto, you know, your book or your music, then the people back home will go, oh, my God, so they really are good, I guess. Other people like them. It's the most bizarre thing, but I keep telling them, you've got to get out of town.
Yep.
And whether you can get out of town physically or get out of town through the wonders of a, you know, radio show or a TV show that goes to some other city or town like we do even, or things that are even more well known. That's where you do it. That's where people learn who you are and where you broaden your audience. I know that I've gotten to where there are people that I might not have known or might not have read or bought their music or bought their books if I hadn't heard them on a radio show somewhere. And there are times when I've even sat in a car and been late somewhere just to listen till I can find out who it was, you know, or who the singer is, or hearing a book. Back when XM used to have book radio and listening to books and buying things that I would have never thought I would have liked, that I became a fan of. Now, you were at a convention last weekend, weren't you, Kevin?
Yes, it was up in New Hampshire. It's called Anthocon. It's held by a group called the Four Horsemen. They're developed by another publisher that I used to work with called Shroud Publishing, and there was a convention up there, and that's where I actually released the paperback book, you know, at the same time as the ebook release. So yeah, I was up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And what was that like?
Oh, it was
tell
a good time.
Tell us some fun stories from it.
Yeah, it's a nice convention. It's a smallish convention. You know, we're talking, you know, probably at the most there were, you know, 250 people there. But it's a small, very intimate convention. I've been going since it began, and the guys that run it, I've worked with them in publishing for a real long time. So it was a very nice environment, very professional, but very relaxed, and a lot of fun.
About how many people were there?
Official totals, but I'd say between 200 and 250 probably, you know, throughout the weekend. So, which makes it on a smaller size. Yeah, you know, I'll be going to another convention in July down in Williamsburg, Virginia, called Scares That Cares. That will probably draw people in the upward 700, 800,000, you know, so that's a much bigger convention.
Well, I think this is probably like a private party then for some people. You know, if you have 300 people or, you know, 250, 300 people, I would imagine the attendees meeting you might feel like they're Elvis and renting out the theater or something to get to have more time with you. So that's kind of prestigious.
Well, and like I said, when I say 250 and 300, I don't necessarily mean all at once. I mean that, you know, throughout the weekend, because there are people who are there like me all weekend. There are some people who only get day passes for Saturday and Sunday. So I mean that more like as in like the people who, so we don't necessarily have like a whole crowd of people exactly like that. So that's probably just by the end of the weekend. That's probably how many people ended up going.
Good. So did you meet people who came to see you that had been fans for a while, wanted to tell you about their books? I mean, tell you how much they like your books. And
you know, this is kind of it was kind of a threshold weekend for me, you know, because I've been writing. I started writing many, many years ago, but I really started getting serious about it about 6 or 7 years ago. Started selling my first short stories, and most of these conventions I attended, you know, for a couple of years I was kind of a nobody, and then everyone kind of knew me as a young writer. This was really the first time where I had people who came because they'd already read my work and they couldn't read the next one. The first time where people showed up and said, "Hey, I've been seeing a lot about this on Facebook this week, so I want to pick it up. The reviews look great." You know, so it was really kind of the first time I got, you know, to experience that, you know, where, you know, people were already, "Oh, Kevin Luce is going to be there at the convention this weekend, I got to grab a copy of this book." You know, that was really a very kind of first time. Yeah, it was a nice feeling. It was, you know, as I said, I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years, and the first couple of years you're just kind of going, you're checking the scene out and hanging out, you know. So for that to happen after all those years, that was a nice feeling. You know, I almost cleared out my table and sold all my books, so that was also a first too.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you enjoy the conventions then, the cons?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's you know, when you're talking about having friends on Facebook and connecting, it's probably the same thing with writers. You know, I don't think anybody, I don't. This is not to sound elitist, but you know, we creative people are strange, weird beings. we don't want to talk about our stuff. We don't want to talk about our stuff to like. I don't know if I want to use the word civilians. You know, we don't want to talk about our stuff to we don't want to talk about writing with people who are not writers, yet we desperately want to communicate with somebody about our writing.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to be at a convention with you know, because I've been doing this. I've been going to conventions for, again, 5 or 6 years. So some of these people I've known for 5 or 6 years, and I knew them even longer. So they're your colleagues. They're your friends. They're fellow writers, but they also become kind of an extended family, you know. It's always a lot of fun to see these people and just talk shop, you know, and talk about the writing gig, you know, and they understand what you're going through and things like that. So, yeah, they're always a lot of fun. And some of these people I only see 2 or 3 times a year. You know, of course, we keep up on Facebook and everything like that, but there are some people that I saw this weekend that I probably won't see again until next year, you know.
I like your description of that completely. How you characterize that. Martin, how about you? Do you
uh-huh.
Are you getting out and meet people much? I mean, do you still DJ? Do you ever DJ at clubs or parties? Or when do you get out? Because I know you've got to be the same, you know, same thing. You're a creative person, and there's like your own different world, and
yes.
You know, your artist understands you, the people you work with.
No, I live a very quiet life, and I don't go out on weekends. I don't play at clubs at the moment. I will do that soon. I have announced that on my blog, on my website recently, because I want to have that live feeling again. But in the last years, not at all, no. Because I rather have my relaxed time at home, and also mostly on weekends I work a lot in the studio, because that is when I have the time for it, really a lot of time. That means I'm like at the computer for 16 hours or something. And no, I'm really a concentrated worker, more of than being out partying, actually. So if it ever happens to meet people, my girlfriend recommends me, so put on your social face, show some social behavior, and yes, it's more like that.
Okay, so at least she's up front about it, right? No hidden messages.
Yes. No. She often calls me the little vampire, because sometimes I had periods when I didn't leave the apartment and the studio for a few days and stuff like that. So it's more that direction.
That's funny. I've got a friend from Germany who she calls me the same thing, the vampire at the beach, because she says, you know, you do your stuff all night long and then you sleep in the daytime, and she always says, you're a little vampire.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah. So she gets you out to see people. Well, I guess it'd be the same thing. Like, you know, Kevin, when you're writing, you know, you're in front of your, you know, your laptop, your computer, and your place, and you're writing. Martin, you're in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, what you hear and what you see, everything has to be on the project like that. And then,
yes.
And then it is different going out into the regular world. With the, I don't know, what you got, civilians, the muggles, or
No, it's I wouldn't call it muggles, but it is as you both mentioned before, with profit in his own land. If I go here to the supermarket or something, I don't know what people see when they see me, but they definitely don't see me as a person who is like tweeting around all day and. Guy who's buying some soy milk or tortellini. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I know. A few years ago, I was in this club in New York City. It's called Fez Under Time. And a friend of mine who had just moved there, he went with me to the club to see this artist. And as I walked in, and, you know, I lived in Atlanta, but I went up there to see. As I walked in with my friend Eric, people come in and they go, JP, you're here. Oh, Jennifer's here. Oh, JP, come on in. So-and-so's over here. So from the time I walked in to the table and then the people coming out of the backstage, JP. And the guy goes, you don't even live in New York. How do you know all these people? I said, well, you know, if we all listen to this, then, you know, same singer. We all like this music. That's all. They've seen me before come in. Then later on, we were out at about 2, 3 a.m. on the street there at Lafayette and Great Jones in New York, waiting for a cab. And then some guy comes walking down the street, you know, it's almost 3 a.m., and says, looks at me, he goes, you're Jennifer. You're the girl that was singing over Premi Della Rossi yesterday afternoon. I go, yeah, that was me. And then the guy beside me said, so does your husband know that people recognize you at 3 a.m. on the street in New York? You know, from singing? Look, my husband's surprised by nothing, okay? Listen, I'm shocked at this. I said, but this wouldn't happen in Atlanta. And, you know, at that time, my band was playing a lot, a jazz band. And so in Atlanta, same thing, you know. Same thing. My, you know, people I know, neighbors, friends, family, they wouldn't come see me. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. But, get us all out of town, and we're celebrities for stars. So, let's talk. Hey, Martin, you've worked as a lot of your music that you've put out, your own work, not just things that you produce for other artists, but a lot of the stuff that you put out is in the name of 3D Taurus. And that's, and I've got that on the side here, 3D Taurus. But lately,
yeah,
you created.
That's right.
And how much music do you in electronic music, do you in this new world, whereas we used to have singles and albums and cassettes and tapes, you do group things together in albums and projects. How much work have you put out as 3D Taurus that is your own work? Over what kind of time period? Okay, I'm not going to play the Jeopardy music for you, okay? I know you had...
I think it was around... Yeah? I'm still there.
Yeah, you have about 5 albums.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me now? Okay, Kevin, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about this in the studio. Martin, you're kind of fading in and out on us. So while until I get you connected again, let me get back to Mr. Lucia. Kevin, you teach school.
I do.
You teach in high school?
I do. Yep.
And you enjoy that?
I do. I do. I've been teaching for about 14 years now, and I really couldn't imagine doing anything else, you know, so I definitely enjoy teaching, yes.
Well, I'd like for you to tell me something. Tell me about your evening with Tom Monteleone, F. Paul Wilson, and Stuart David Schitt. I want to hear about this.
It was quite an evening. It was that was another threshold moment. That happened about three years ago. Tom Monteleone, F. Paul Wilson. You know, F. Paul Wilson is a New York Times bestselling author. He's the creator of the Repairman Jack series. If you've seen the movie Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman, he wrote the novel that movie was based on. Tom Monteleone is a virtual legend in the horror suspense genre, you know, and these guys, I first met them when I was about 4 years ago. They run a writer's boot camp every year called Borderlands Press Writer's Boot Camp. And basically it's an intensive, you know, weekend workshop on writing and critiquing. And, you know, I first met them down there. And I started a creative writing class at my high school. So I started talking to them, seeing if they'd like to come to my school and work with my students. You know, I was able to get some grants, so I was able to pay them to come up for 3 or 4 days and kind of give my kids the same kind of critique they gave me. I mean, a little softer because they were high school students. Ours was pretty brutal. It was not for the week. But I have to say that for anyone that's listening, anyone that likes. I mean, really, the boot camp is not genre specific. I mean, you could be a sci-fi fan or a horror fan, or you could want to write detective fiction or even romance novels or anything like that. I mean, you don't have to write a specific genre, but if you're really looking for like a no holds barred, we're gonna tear you down to bits and build you right back up again. You know, go Google Borderlands Press and find their writer's boot camp. It's every year. It's just phenomenal. And yeah, they pretty much destroyed me. But any success, I mean, the success of the recent book, I can attribute back to the instruction I learned from them. But so I was gonna have them work with my kids. And usually when I bring authors in to work with my kids, I usually take them out to dinner the night before, and we hang out and stuff. But these guys are like, I mean, these guys are New York Times bestselling authors, and I'm thinking, well, there's no way they want to, you know, hang out with me, you know, the night before. So I'm at home, and I just kind of grade some papers, and Paul Wilson calls me on the phone, and he's like, so what are you doing? Are you busy? And, you know, Paul Wilson calling me and asking me if I'm busy has been like, you know, sure, no, I'm not. Hopefully my wife's not listening to this, but my wife could have been in labor, and I'd be like, no, I'm not busy, no, sure, I'd come over. She's probably upstairs listening. But So he said, we're at a friend's house. You got to come over. And they had mentioned that they knew somebody in Binghamton. So he's like, well, he's got something really cool in their basement. His basement. You got to come over and check it out. So I came over. And it turned out, and again, many people may not know who this person is, but again, if you're a sci-fi fantasy horror fan, then you might recognize a magazine that went by the name of Whispers. It was a Whispers magazine and Whispers anthology series that was prevalent during the late 70s and early 80s. And it was edited by a guy named Stuart David Schiff, you know, which I'd only heard of him. I didn't even know he lived in my town. When I got over there, he had this basement that was crammed full with – the only thing I could think of it, it was like a genre Smithsonian. You know, every little bit of novelty from science fiction fantasy, every nook and cranny was just cornered. Imagine a museum of the weird, and it was just everything. He even had a captain's chair from a Romulan warship, straight from like an actual Paramount set, like in his basement. And these guys spent the whole night talking about the genre and, you know, big important people and just their history. And it was, you know, until like about midnight where they're eating takeout. And, you know, for me thinking about, I'm a young guy and, thinking about one thing I think I can say about probably any young writer, but if you're operating in any of the genres, like say you're operating in science fiction or fantasy or horror or detective or crime fiction, you know, when you start out, you tend to be rather insular and narrow-minded, but you tend to have a tunnel vision. You tend to only live in your own little world. You know, things change when you're suddenly, like, for example, if you were a suspense thriller writer and suddenly you had the opportunity to spend the evening with James Patterson, or if you're like a romance writer and you could write fantasy and you were allowed to hang out for an afternoon with like J.K. Rowling, it opens, you know, your understanding. Like, I was a horror writer, but all these names and I thought myself pretty well read. But all these names of writers I'd never heard before, and just, also listening to them. These guys were basically telling their war stories, writing in the horror and sci-fi genre for like 30, 40 years. And they thought they were boring me, but I was just like, no, this is like a history lesson. This is like, you know, that really, that weight of tradition. So that was a threshold moment for me as well, just to be able to be a part of that.
See, I would think if I were you, I would wake up the next day and wonder, did I dream that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. And I saw Paul and Tom were at Anthocon this weekend, so I got to once again kind of do the whole, student sitting at the feet of Socrates or Plato, you know, this weekend and listen to them talk. But they have heard around about how often I tell this story. And they're just pleased and tickled to death to hear that what they call a bunch of old guys gabbing, you know, had such a profound effect. So, it was quite a moment. Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
That was probably about 4 years ago. You know, it was, and ironically enough, it wasn't too long after that I started seeing, you know, because I think for me. Again, for anyone out there who's listening who wants to be a writer or they're, like, beginning to write, you know, probably one of the most important things that I think gets left out of the equation is you have to be a voracious reader. You know, if you don't, I've heard the phrase so many times before, you know, I'll ask someone who wants to be a writer or is a young writer, I'll be like, well, how much do you read? What do you read? And I always hear the excuse, oh, I don't have time to read. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Stephen King who said, if you don't have time to read, you don't have time to write. You don't have the time or the tools, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was a pretty well-read reader, but I only read a certain type of story, and they were talking about all these different genre writers I had never heard of. And like, I got home that night and just started, you know, looking up all these things on Amazon and ordering them. And it wasn't long after that I started seeing a little more, you know, traction in, you know, in my career, you know, just because I started exposing myself to different writers and reading and things
really?
Like that. So yeah, it was about 4 years ago. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But I could still imagine that moment would be something like you just don't want it. You wish you could just freeze that moment. Just don't want it to end.
Yeah, and nothing ever compares to it either. Yeah, that definitely. Yep. Yep.
Wow. How fantastic.
Yep.
How wonderful that happened to you. I guess, yeah. And I kind of understand. I like jazz music. And most of the times that I was going to New York was because I found one of my favorite jazz singers was still alive. And I would go, and I met her manager so I could see her, as Anita O'Day. And you may not have heard her, but she used to sing with Stan Kenton and Benny Goodman.
Okay.
And so, yeah, okay. let me cue my crickets back in. So yeah, just to hear her talk about, you know, the work she did back then and those songs, it was pretty cool. So, yeah, that would be my version of it. But, yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm so glad you had that experience, because it's the kind of thing that, you know, even though I'll never know exactly what the scope of it was like, being there and seeing the things you saw, it's exciting to hear about.
Right.
If something like that happens. Martin, are you with me now? Martin, I may have to have him just hang up and call back in. So, now, were you always, I mean, even as a kid, did you like to read?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I definitely credit my parents, you know, for that. My parents read to both myself and my sister at a very, very young age, you know, and they really felt that reading was very, very important, you know. And it wasn't necessarily like I was the child of English teachers either. You know, my dad was an engineer. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. But they just believed that reading was an important thing just culturally, and for culture, for learning and understanding. So, you know, my sister and I were the type of kids that read through every single book in the library. And if you were to check out some books, the last five people, you know, the person to check that book out was us. You know, I remember in sixth grade, my greatest achievement was I had read through every single book in the elementary school library, so I was allowed to walk over to the high school library and check books out. So,
okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Can you hear him, Kevin?
I can. Yes,
Jennifer.
So now that I've got you back on. Martin, why don't you tell me...
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Martin, you started DJing and making music when you were about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Had you had music training or classes or been in bands before that? Just what got you
Before that, I played the saxophone for like 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And I played really bad. Yeah, I played really poor. And it was really hurting me because I never liked it. But I kept on trying. And I think it was important to me because it gave me a certain notion of what it means to work hard on something in music. And also with the element of failure, because actually I never got quite good. And but somehow I was liking the notes, I was liking melodies and tones, and what I especially wanted to do is not just play one instrument, but more like conduct.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of like conduct a with a whole ensemble. Yeah. That is, of course, you can write all tracks on yourself and conduct a whole ensemble of instruments. What I wanted to do.
Okay, well, Martin, right now, I'd like to play a cut from one of your projects. If you would tell us, I'm going to tell the name of the song, the name of the cut, and I'd like for you to tell us what is the name of the album that it came from and something about it. The song is called He Counted Three.
The name of the album is Favorite Illusion. It was an album from last August, which is quite a slow album, but also had very dense rhythmic elements, very densified to sometimes high energy. So it is mostly around 7:50 a.m., which is quite close. And the album on which he counted three on also
okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and play it, and I'm going to maybe try. We're having a lot of difficulty getting you on to be able to hear you clearly here, Martin. So I'm going to go ahead and play He Counted Three from Favorite Illusions by 3D Taurus.
Thank you.
There we are. Okay, that was He Counted Three from the album Favorite Illusions by 3D Taurus, which I believe was on his Mobus Spin label. Kevin?
Yes.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Glad you're still here with me. So I don't know if we'll have Martin back, because he's having a lot of audio trouble there. But let's get back to some of your adventures then, since you're still with me. And
okay.
We may have a call from our friend Jasper Bark soon.
Oh,
he's threatened.
Fabulous.
He's to call. He's hinted that he would call. But whether or not he actually makes it in, I want to see this. your website is Kevin Lucia, K-E-V-I-N-L-U-C-I-A, excuse me, it's pronounced Lucia, maybe, where people can learn more about you, your writing, your books, and you also have a blog, which I think is another cool part of modern life, is that your friends can keep up with what you're doing in your blog and communicate with you. Not always in a scary way, although I like the way that on your website, Kevin, you have the blog about your fiction, nonfiction, and then you have Stalk Me.
Yeah,
because let's face
because,
it,
you know,
what it is, it's stalking by permission.
And really, it's the this is the discussion that's been, you know, I if I had a dime for every time this discussion has come up among my colleagues, you know, I wouldn't need to work. You know, the idea, the whether or not websites are still really functional, or whether or not people still go looking for an author's website, or do they go to look for the author on social media? I have the website there. You know, it's a nice placeholder should somebody just stumble across it or things like that. But I put the Stalk Me there because it's, like it or not, it's a social media-driven world, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you are any type of artist or someone who's trying to, I don't want to say sell stuff, but really, yeah, if you're an artist, if you have a product, you're trying to get it out to people and get it out to an audience, social media is the way to do it, you know, and it just kind of a real fact of the matter. So, yeah, I say stalk me because, you know, by all means, come add me on Facebook, come follow me on Twitter, you know. I'm not one of these. I do have a Facebook page, like a Facebook author page, but I'm not one of these writers that says, oh, don't, this is my private account, you can't come follow me. I'm just like, you know, come on and join the show. we're here at all hours of the day. Come and watch. And that's kind of the way it is, you know. It's how it rolls. I remember getting into a conversation with a editor who he gave me a compliment that I didn't realize was a compliment at first until I realized what he was saying, was that in the first issue of his magazine, he had run a serial novella of mine, and that he didn't realize how much my posting and resharing and blogging and posting to Twitter helped the sales of the magazine until the following issue when someone else was featured, and they didn't share it at all. And, you know, the person was a slightly bigger name than I was, but they're from an older generation, you mm-hmm. know, the writers, you know, who started writing about 20 years ago, you know, and I'm generalizing here. Hopefully there's nobody out in the mm-hmm. audience that would listen and totally call mm-hmm. me out on this. But I think they look at, you know, and I see them express it on Facebook and how they think that posting about their new story they just sold or this new thing is publishing, they feel uncomfortable doing that because it's kind of a generational thing. You know, for me, even though I'm 41, I started my writing career late. I mean, I was posting links to my very first stories back in the glory days of MySpace. You know, so the rise of social media and the development of my writing career have occurred hand in hand, and it's kind of the rules of the road, I think, right now.
Yeah, it is, and you know, too. Now, as I said, you know, I'm an entertainment publicist, but I have a lot of people. I've had I was a little bit resistant. I'm just a couple of years older than you, so social media was a little odd and strange to me. I never got into MySpace, but I realized I had to finally grasp, see what was going on with it, especially in as a publicist. And I found that, you know, if you learn a little bit and you do a lot of give and take on there, you can get a lot of benefit out of it. For example, when I was I had a client I was trying to book something for out of town as we were talking, and what I said to him was, okay, we'll book something in another state nearby so it wouldn't be too far of a drive. I had gotten on LinkedIn and through there connected with one of those morning like magazine shows in a local town in Birmingham, Alabama, which is Birmingham from Atlanta is not but about two and a half hour drive. Two and a half, three. Depends on, how you drive. But, so we had him on a morning show, and then I thought, well, if we're going to drive all the way over there to do a morning show, we need to have some kind of event. So if people are watching and they see and they like it, they can go and say, oh, you can go to this place today or tonight, and see this person. So
right.
I got on Twitter and I said, I've got a client. He's going to be on this TV show, and is there any place or any venue where I can have him play that night or that evening so that we can get a little maximize the show. And so next thing, it didn't take very long at all, probably an hour or two, before I had a venue, which was an art gallery nearby in a hip little trendy emerging part of Birmingham. I had a venue, which was an art gallery. And then this guy also says, oh, by the way, I'm also a wine importer, so I'll have a wine tasting that I'll just do as a gift to you for, bringing people here and talking about us on all of your media and talking about us on TV. And then he says, oh, yeah, okay, a friend in a restaurant a few doors down, he's offered to bring some food. And then it just started snowballing in just a matter of hours.
Yep.
And so before we knew it, we had a TV show, and we had a venue, and we had a wine tasting, and food donated from another restaurant. And then somebody else has a magazine and a couple of things, and they start sharing it. And it was fantastic.
Right, yep.
I was surprised at how easy it was. And though I have clients that are a little bit afraid of Twitter, and most of that did come from Twitter, I do, as I said, I do some ghost tweeting, or I'll let them do part of their tweeting, and I do some. I say, you can't just always smash your own stuff out there. You got to be a little friendly and give a little kindness and concern to other people and congratulate them on their projects, just as you would want. And they're surprised at how it does grow their following and reflect in sales. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think, there's a lot of horror stories about the internet, and I will say this, social media is a double-edged sword. You can grow a lot of fans and a base through social media. You could also torpedo it in the same day. You say something, and, there's the ever-present possibility of a flame war. You have to be aware of what you say. But even for all the negative aspects, we had a comment from a friend of mine at dinner at the convention this last weekend. He was saying that because my family goes to the conventions with me, the last couple of years, my wife, my kids go with us. And this one author, a friend of mine, said that it was just wonderful that he'd been able, as long as he's known me as a writer, because we're Facebook friends, he's not only has our writing career grown, but he's been able to watch my family grow, at the same time. So that right there is all the potential, the good potential of what social media can be. Even outside of being a writer or anything like that.
Yeah, and I've always been kind of a freak magnet anyways. That's going to happen to me. Actually, on most social media, I have my name changed just a little bit. But and the one on Facebook is not even the name most people, some people know me by. So that helps. I have only had two instances where I had things in the Madame Perry Salon blog and from this show where I got some angry tweets and angry messages because of the guest was – I had no idea that they were this controversial. And I had some people saying, what did they talk about this and that? And they're awful and they stalk and whatever. And I go, really? What part of the show was that on? Please tell me what part. So they didn't listen to the show. They just knew who the guests were. And it was actually the most popular show that I have today. It was Candace Dempsey, who wrote Murder in Italy, because she's an Italian-American journalist who was living in Italy when Meredith Kircher was killed and lives near Amanda Knox now, and Doug Bremner, who was also blogging in Italian. He's a filmmaker, and he's a psychologist that lives here in Atlanta. And his sister is Ann Bremner, the lawyer that you see on TV a lot. So, so that's just, so people say, and so whenever I get something on Twitter about it, I'll say, really, what part of the show? Tell me what minute and second that was so I can go back and check it. But they never do. They didn't listen. They just saw the names. But that's, you know, that's not that big of a deal, actually. I don't think it is. But I've got a couple things I also want to talk about. I've got some very nice people who are sponsoring, so if you guys would bear with me. And if you have any questions, how old are your kids, Kevin?
My kids are 10 and 8.
Oh, okay. And Martin, do you have children?
No, not at all.
All right.
not in my current relationship, not in any former. No.
You're sure about that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Right. Well, if people that sometimes have children, and sometimes children have trouble sleeping, and what do you do? I think they have the night terrors, or they have nightmares, or they don't want to go sleep in a dark room. And there is a guy who has created a book, and I think some video books, and they're called the Dream Warrior Bears. And these are the bears, these little stuffed, adorable bears that help the children fall asleep. It's Grandmaster Henry, and he runs a top-secret Dream Warrior training camp hidden deep in the wilderness. And these Dream Warriors find their way to children with bad dreams. And the Dream Warriors help them to end their bad dreams and nightmares. And so he's got wonderful little... The illustrations are beautiful. The artwork is lovely. And so if you want to find that, it's dwbears.com. Or Dream Warrior Bears. Look those up. Let's see. Who else do we have? Oh, we've got another cool sponsor. Have you ever been to Mexico, guys? Either one of you?
No.
Yes, I have been there.
You've been to Mexico? What part?
Yes, I've been there. Like the south. From Mexico City via Puebla, via Veracruz, via Oaxaca, down through the south, like, what is that called? The isthmus? There is a, it's Chiapas, and then to the Caribbean coast.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It was 2003.
Oh, okay. Well, I have never been to Mexico. But there is a group, there's a company called Mexico Lifestyle Services. And they are, as I said, they're a luxury travel services company in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. They have everything from villa rentals, tours, private transportation, to spa services, cooking classes. Their website is www.mexicolifestyle.com.mx. And they said they're just a luxury concierge. So anything you could possibly want, they just want to make your vacation fabulous and make you feel pampered. And I will be putting their information too on my Twitter for Madame Perry Salon, which is Lone Wolf Jen. And I will also be putting the information for Mexico Lifestyle Services on Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook. So Kevin, maybe one day you and your wife can call Mexico Lifestyle Services. Get a romantic vacation.
Oh, maybe.
I can only recommend going to Mexico. It's wonderful.
Okay, I've never been, but I want to go. I want to go, especially now that I've read about them. I want to go. Do you speak Spanish, Martin? You do?
No, I speak Portuguese.
How about you, Kevin?
No.
Okay, well, that's good enough. I'm in Georgia, where Spanish is the second language, la lingua segunda. So, So I minored in And that's all cool. Also have a group called, well, I'll bring this in, a group called Hawks. You haven't been in Mexico, Kevin. You have, Martin. But you both have women in your life that you love very much, and I'm sure you worry about their safety and their comfort, right? And keeping them safe.
Sometimes, yes.
I think my husband worries more about the other people. But, yeah, there's a group called Hawks, and what they do, they concentrate on everything like safety, teaching people about, it says it's a community for women where they can learn tips on how to keep safe. They can come together on the site, on the website, talk about uncomfortable dates if they don't feel safe in other situations they have, or anything they want to talk about in a safe environment where their feelings are respected. Hawks want women to be smart, be safe, and be vigilant, but most of all, live a Hawks lifestyle. And their website is www.hawksunite, that's HAWKSUNITE.com, and I'm spelling it because, as we know, I have a southern drawl, so it may be hard for some people to understand. But they have all kinds of information about personal safety, personal, home, car, campus, date, travel, jogging and walking, about self-defense classes and products. I've got a blog, guys, called Memoirs of a Misanthrope that I hope to have published in a book, a group of essays. And one of the stories is when I'm in St. Simon's Island in coastal Georgia and walking back to the condo from the beach and a guy stopping me on a bicycle and asking me some personal questions and stuff. It's kind of scary. So, yeah, if anybody knows about just walking and being a it's called My Life as a Freak Magnet. I think it was the one that particular episode was called. But with Hawks Unite, you will form you can also form groups, like local groups if you want to, of people to talk to. And it's always mattered. When I was growing up, we always had a thing where if you drop somebody off, like maybe after a church event or a school event, if you drop somebody off at their house, they would have to go inside and flip the light switch a couple of times, you know, that they were inside and okay. Or that was back before the days of texting and cell phoning to do that kind of stuff. So, all right, guys, and I've got one more. It's this woman's website calls her a local author. Well, yeah, well, she is. She's local, but to us she's not. She lives in New South Wales, and she's a children's author, very popular, named Cassandra Webb. She's quite popular in Australia and parts of the UK, but now she's branching into YA. And I'm not really sure. It's called a young adult fantasy book. Kevin, what grades are YA? What ages?
I would say I've always considered YA young adult. I would consider that like anywhere from like 13 to 16, 17. And then, you know, teen fiction would be a little bit after that. It depends. I mean, I know I've got a lot of, you know, juniors and seniors that are reading adult fiction already. So young adult, that is usually what I think of when I think of YA.
Oh, okay. All right. So the book is called Life, and we're going to be talking more about this in 2 weeks and giving away copies of the book here. So, Kevin, are your books in other languages?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. We're working on that, I hope.
I at this point, I'm not aware of any translation rights. That usually, you know, from my experience, either your publisher sets that up or if you've got an agent, you know, that can sell the rights, the translation rights, you know, foreign rights. As far as I know, I don't really have anything like that going on right now.
Do I need to be speaking with Joe about this?
Oh, there's a huge market for that in Germany.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, Germany's one of the biggest markets when it comes to you know, translation,
yeah.
Foreign rights for horror. Absolutely. I don't know what Joe's plans are for that. You know, we haven't really discussed that at this point. That's one of the reasons why I would like to, in the next couple of years start researching agents, although that is like another headache in itself, the thought of nailing down and trying to find an agent just makes me tired and grumpy. So I don't want to think about it right now. But that's one of the benefits of having an agent is they can usually work these, foreign rights sales. Martin's right. Germany's a big market for American horror, especially.
Definitely.
I didn't know that. Are you a big horror fan, Martin?
Oh, I can definitely relate to that stuff, especially if a huge part of the horror is left to my own imagination.
Ah.
I think I already wrote that to you, but I like this. I like if it's left open for myself to interpret. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I agree. I think I was also telling Martin, I'm sure you have your own version or explanation or theory on this, Kevin, but I was telling Martin when we were talking Sunday, too, that the thing with the music, somebody wrote, or I might have seen it on Pinterest, no two people read the same book, and I think the same can be maybe for music, because there are certain songs that I can hear that just take me back to, I can just... smell the perfumes that my friends and I used to wear then, and think about our clothes and just the atmosphere and what we would do, hang out at the mall or whatever, with an old song. And the same with books. Although I do associate a lot of songs with books if I listen to them. Do you listen to music when you write, Kevin?
I need it absolutely quiet. Absolutely, definitely need it. I get up very early in the morning to write, so... I like to keep it nice and quiet.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mostly work at night. Martin, have you ever written music based on books that you've read or that were inspired by books?
Let me think. I have... no, but what I have completely based music on is... science, like for example, I've made a record which is called Collider Dreams, I think. I'm not sure at the moment. It's a double album, and it is based on what I imagine to be the dreams of a super collider.
Oh,
it is more of mine.
That's what I wanted to talk about, because you were mentioning it too, when the Hadron Collider.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The Large Hadron Collider in
Switzerland. You told me, but you haven't told the... I'm sorry, pardon me for interrupting. So you've told me, but you haven't told the audience. So tell us about that, how that inspired you, what that made you... How that all clicked together for you.
Yes, it's something that has always been fascinating me, physics especially, and especially particle physics, and everything very big and everything very small in physics is fascinating me. So there was this time of maintenance of the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland at CERN, CERN, and when they... brought it back to service this spring, I wrote a record about what I imagined to be the dreams of this collider during the time of the...
Nice. And what emotion or what feeling did... How did you do... But what kind of feeling or emotion did that make you feel that you wanted to translate into music?
I wanted... to create something warm and humming and electrostatic and crackling and deep and, that. Like you imagine high amounts of electricity all in a deep slumber.
Yeah. You feel that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, since you both have new projects out, but before we go, tell me about, Martin, tell me about your newest project, Canal 3.
Yeah, you mean Canal 3.
Yeah, please forgive my butchering of German, please.
Oh, no problem. My upcoming album as Kanal 3 or English Channel 3 will be, I think, in 1 month from now, roundabout. And it's a question of weeks. It will be on the UK-based label Romeda Records, which is romeda.net. You can find other information there. And an album which is called Die Stadt unter der Stadt, The City Below the City. And it is my first album, produced to a bigger audience. And I'm very much looking forward to it. Hopefully, a lot of reactions and feedback also on social media.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to put all the information, and especially because I'm so sorry we've had such a hard time with your audio, but I'm going to be putting information about both of you, gentlemen, and your websites and how to contact you, how to stalk you, and your projects and books and music so that people can get to them quickly and buy them. And so before we go, I would like for each of you to tell the listening audience what's the next thing they need to be checking on with you, what they need to be reading, and why. Kevin, go.
Of course, we've got my current work, Through a Mirror Darkly. It's a novella quartet that all the stories take place in the same town. It's horror, but it's also like Twilight Zone stuff, you know, and it's actually exactly what Martin just said, what he likes about horror. It's not that in-your-face, gory horror. It's the type of stuff that, you know, that you see from the corner of your eye that I'm going to let you fill in the gaps and that sort of thing. My next release is going to be in July. I have a novella that's coming out that's called A Night at Old Web, and it's not horror at all. It has the lightest touch of supernatural to it, and it's actually more of a love story, and that will be out in July.
Oh, all right. I like that. And the next convention you'll play, or the next place you'll be at it live reading or signing books would be?
We have the Scares That Cares in Williamsburg, Virginia, which is a really nice convention. This is a huge convention. We're talking about thousands of people here because this is the horror film industry and the horror writing industry in the same place. So you're talking there are going to be, you know, legit movie stars there and writing stars there as well. And it's the nice thing about Scares That Care is it's a nonprofit organization that donates all of its proceeds to children's organizations. So that's the one thing that's nice about that is that's why it's called Scares That Care, the nonprofit organization. So it's a great convention, for a wonderful reason.
Okay, fantastic.
That sounds great.
Are you still a submissions reader for Cemetery Dance?
Yep. No, I'm not a submissions reader anymore. I was a submissions reader for Cemetery Dance, but I'm now the reviews editor at Cemetery Dance. So I still work for Cemetery Dance. I just moved over into a different area.
Oh, okay. And you have a podcast called Horror One-on-One?
That one also recently ended as well. Horror 101 is going to be reappearing as a column in a magazine called Lamplight Magazine. So if anyone were to Google Lamplight Magazine, the Horror 101 is going to be reborn as a quarterly nonfiction column that is basically tracing the history and the development of the horror genre.
Okay, I'm making a note of that too. And, all right, well, that's fantastic. So we're going to keep up. And please put all your personal appearances on your website as well so we can follow it too, Kevin. And,
okay.
Martin. All right, what do you want to share with the audience about Kanal 3 and your new projects and what's going on and where to find more information about you? And people you produce.
Actually, if someone is completely new to my music, I would recommend them to listen to my album Restored, which is to find on my Bandcamp and also on my website. My website is 3dtorus.com. Three written as a number, dtorus.com. And that is a good starter, I think, because it describes my life from birth until around 22 years old. It's my life story, basically, my personal. And something else I would like to mention is that all of my sales are going to charity as well, to the United Nations World Food Program. Because whenever someone buys the music on my Bandcamp page, I'm donating this 100%.
Okay.
A heartfelt thing to me, because I'd just like to mention that.
So this is the Canadre from Bandcamp. All the proceeds go to the charity of the... And could you name it again for me? Because I want to make sure I write this down in the tweets and
yes,
on my Facebook page.
It's the United Nations World Food Program, and they have an app which is called Share the Meal. You can
I like
donate
that. Okay.
Money with an app. And, it's sharethemeal.org.
Oh, very nice. That's very nice of you. That's very generous of you, Martin.
Oh,
really is. So.
I think I'm really privileged here in Western Europe, and that's why I do that. Yeah,
it's good to for all of us to remember how much we have. So, folks, let me say
exactly.
Too, before we go, I need to shout out one more time to Hawks, this fantastic group called Hawks, because they've even already been hawksunite.com is their website, and they have all kind of great information in their community for women about safety, tips on how to keep safe. And guess what, Kevin and Martin, they've already been tweeting about you guys.
Oh,
thanks so much.
I know, isn't that nice?
I have to check.
Yeah, they've already been tweeting about you being on the show, which is very, very nice and very generous of them. That's the kind of people I like. You know, we're all there to reciprocity. Yes, and let's see. And also Mexico Lifestyle Services. Thank you, Mexico Lifestyle Services, our luxury travel resource company, for being a sponsor tonight. I am so grateful to you, too. And wouldn't it be great if we could just do the show down there, Puerto Vallarta, in a nice little luxury? You know, probably what's even their smallest non-luxury area would probably be pretty luxurious, in my opinion. So, you know, that would be good. We could do it down there. Martin, pack up your girlfriend, and Kevin, pack up your wife, and we could just go down there and have a big show. We could create a con down there. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
I like it. And also thanks to Dream Warrior Bears and those adorable little bears that will go out to... make the bad dreams go away. God knows I need them. I'm an insomniac. And of course, in a couple of weeks, we'll be giving away some books from Cassandra Webb. So, again, I am just so grateful to have Kevin Lucia, 3D Taurus.
Yep.
Kevin, congratulations on the launch
Thank
of your
you.
New book, Through a Mirror Darkly. As I said, from everything I see and what I hear, it's just... Wow, it's just exploding out there. I'm reading it, and I can understand why Martin's reading it. We were talking about it last weekend.
Fabulous.
We're not going to give anything away, but Martin and I are telling you to buy it. And also, folks, make sure you get go to Bandcamp, SoundCloud, or anywhere. Look for three, like the number 3, DTORUS.com, 3D Taurus, and that will also lead you to Canadre. And I will also be putting information about
exactly.
Kevin Lucius and 3D Taurus
All right.
On everything I've got. And remember, guys, I ghost tweet for a lot of people. So if I like you, suddenly all of my clients are tweeting about you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just saying. Just saying. You'll be everywhere. So I'm just so grateful to both of you and for your music. Martin, 3D Taurus, thank you so much. And
so
for
much,
all the people you produced, and also for the fact that you created a project that I already knew that you were excited about and proud of, but then to know that you're taking the proceeds and giving to the United Nations World Food Program, Share the Meal. That's very nice.
Exactly.
And Kevin, get to work on those German and Spanish books.
We'll talk to Joe and see what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be talking to Joe. Don't you worry about that. So thank you both, guys, and grateful to have
you
here on Madame Perry Salon.
Thank you.
And, you're so welcome. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And guys, go out, buy the books, the music, and share the love. And we'll see you. We might see you Thursday night. We're going to have a special episode. Oh, yeah, a special episode this Thursday night with Jasper Bark and Veronique Chevalier. And it's going to be... We're going to be strapping Jasper into a chair. Veronique and I had a little bit of a rehearsal, and this is the only part of it that I can play for you. So, how's that sound?
Interesting.
Was a good tastemaker.
Well, I think the soundbite is called Machine Gun Assembly. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
You know, Veronique, she's French. She's got a different viewpoint on some things. So Thursday night, Jasper Bart, Veronique Chevalier. Tonight again, thanks to Kevin Lucia, 3D Taurus, Martin Canadre, and I'm Madame Perry, saying... Be nice to somebody. If you like a book or you like some music, leave a nice review for them on Amazon or Goodreads or somewhere. Goodreads, anything you can. Share the love of your favorite music and authors to somebody else. It'll mean more to them than you can ever imagine. Right, guys?